Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Joining us now on the Schneider Orange Hotline, Will Salmon, the Brewers beat reporter. Will, how you doing?
Hey, doing well. Good to be on with you. Been a fan of the show since I moved to Milwaukee.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it. To indoctrinate you, this is a hell of a way to do it, to talking about COVID and no fans in the stands. We're getting wind today. The NFL might not have it, but the Major League Baseball teams continue to press forward. So give me your thoughts as this thing is only a couple of weeks away from getting started back up, as to not only the Brewers will start locally, but then the schedule, how this plays out, the thoughts of playing teams like Kansas City and playing teams like the Twins as well within their division. Give me your thoughts. Let's start there.
Yeah, I've had some mixed feelings about it, ranging from being skeptical to being excited to worrying how it's going to work out to counting the days until it happens to then thinking, okay, how many games will we actually even get through? So it's been like a plethora of those emotions for me. And I think that's kind of fair to say probably for a lot of people who follow and love baseball, right? But like you look ahead at the 60-game season that was unveiled the other day and you say to yourself, okay, it looks like they're plunging through this because we see it unfold and it's in the backdrop of testing being done where teams have had some issues with getting their tests back and therefore having to call off some practices or just postpone them or cancel them in some cases. The Brewers have not faced those sort of issues, fortunately for them, but we've seen it across baseball. So it's definitely a weird time and it's only going to get stranger, I feel like. It's best to be flexible in your mind, I think, with how you feel and what you're going to expect, because not only just from a health and safety standpoint, but also like the baseball purist in you, that those feelings will definitely get tested over the next few weeks for sure.
So ESPN says that they did 3,740 saliva tests, 66 positive, which is basically 1.8%. 58 players and 8 staff members, and now they're calling the next round of testing monitoring. So I guess the question is, with the rate that it's going now, out of the next two round of tests, which were over 2,000, only 0.5%, 8 players and 2 staff members came back positive. With the number like that, is there a tipping point in your mind that you think that baseball may or may not shut it down?
Yeah, that's a great question. In my mind, I'm not really sure if there is one, just because you look at just the roster sizes that they have. It's like, hey, it's 60 players are in these player pools for a reason. Like they're expecting people to be used. And I know from the Brewer standpoint, especially, like they were a team that was sort of built on that depth, and they are pretty aware that they're going to be tested and they're going to be probably using guys that we're not going to be talking about or that we haven't been talking about. And so I don't know if there really is a number. You kind of say to yourself about those testing numbers, I'm not sure, just because how many of those guys that tested positive prior to intake, how many of those guys are there? Because the Brewers had just two that Craig Counsell shared with us the other day during his press conference, and that didn't necessarily count, as far as I understand, for that first sort of those first numbers that were issued by MLB last week. So it's interesting, like when it all breaks down, like how many guys have tested positive, you know, how many have been in close quarters with somebody who has, how far back does it go, the tracing of it. How many days will a certain guy be out for? I mean, like, there's so many different circumstances that I don't know. I would, part of me hopes that there is a number, of course, but I think it's higher than most people envision it.
So with we'll stick to baseball and the X's and O's of this thing because we believe there's going to be a season and certainly hope there's going to be a season. So with the Brewers, I guess the best part about all of this, when we heard Craig Counsell speak the other day, that he was most excited to see Corey Knable throwing the baseball. If Knable can come back, and I'm saying just if, because I know there are some people that say, well, if he can come back and be the closer, that's great. That's great in a euphoric world. But right now, you're just looking to add depth in that rotation of the bullpen. If he can bring you something and pitch to what close to what he once was, still have Hader, still have depth back there with the, I'm not going to say you don't have frontline starters like a Kershaw, but you've got twos and threes that can get you through. With the way they utilize their pitching staff, how strong do you think the Brewers are?
I like their chances. I think that it's hard to overstate the importance of having Craig Counsell as their manager too. Just because you know what you're getting from him in these sort of weird circumstances where, yeah, they're different, of course, and the rules are a little bit different too, so it's not exactly a great comparison or a perfect one, but we know what to expect when he has a roster that is increased or extra players at his disposal. Like, they kept saying, and they, meaning pitching coach Chris Hook and Craig Counsell and a couple of pitchers, like, hey, we kind of expect the pitching staff to be utilized in a way similar to last September. And for me, I wasn't here last September. I watched games, of course, but even if I was, that feels even more long ago than it is at this point, right? So I went back and looked, and I mean, they lifted a pitcher before the end of the fifth inning last year, a starting pitcher, 17 times. And again, they went 20-7 during that stretch last September. So they were doing it, in other words, with guys going three innings, four innings, and then bridging that gap. So to get to like Hader or whoever else they were utilizing in the back end at high leverage spots. So I think that you're right in that they don't exactly have a couple of aces. I mean, Brandon Woodruff, I would argue, is on the cusp of becoming sort of that guy, or at least close to it. But beyond that, there are questions there with how long could these guys go. But those are sort of minimized when you're going to only be asking them perhaps to go only a certain amount of innings. And then you could utilize a pretty deep bullpen with guys like, you know, Ray Black and David Phelps, guys like that, who could then get you to some even higher leverage situations, like you mentioned, a Corey Knable or a Josh Hader. And, you know, Knable is the guy in particular that's worth discussing in depth because, you know, yeah, he's great in himself, but he could also help you in making Josh Hader, the usage of Hader, a little bit more liberal, in the sense that maybe you go to Hader earlier on in a game when the game is on the line, maybe in the seventh inning, and their best hitter is up at the plate or something like that. So you're more flexible, of course, because of that 1-2 punch that they could provide if he's healthy. And by all indications, he's feeling good. He faced live hitters the other day and was impressive.
My question is with the decision-making process, and this is something that I've kind of gone back and forth in my own mind about when it comes to the DH. We were listening to Pat Murphy, the bench coach, the other day talk about the decision-making of Craig Counsell and how he can really manipulate the roster to put a lot of their guys in favorable positions to be successful. With the DH, it eliminates a lot of that. Do you think because of the DH that becomes a hindrance to the Brewers?
You know, that was an interesting point. I actually listened to that interview that you had with Pat the other day, and that was an interesting point he made with, hey, there's a lot of double switches. There's the lefty-righty thing that we try to get to late in games and that sort of thing. I think so. I see his point, I guess, but I also think it evens out. I mean, like, we're talking about an enhanced lineup for the Brewers, too, where you're able to utilize Ryan Braun in that way and have him play probably more games and get his bat in the lineup and keep him healthy and keep his energy up and all that good stuff. I mean, I think the pros certainly outweigh the cons for the Brewers there. I definitely see his point, and it's a good one, and it's one that I hadn't really thought of too much. But when you look at just how they could utilize that DH, I mean, yeah, it's good for a lot of NL teams, of course, right? But I feel like the Brewers especially, if they choose to have Logan Morrison on the roster, they could utilize him. They could move Keston Hira to DH, get a little bit better defensively. And, hey, by the way, they have a superstar in Christian Yelich who, Yeah, they try to give him a day off every once in a while because he's still human. And instead of taking him completely off out of the game, they could keep his bat in the lineup at DH. So I just feel like the pros outweigh the cons for the Brewers with that situation.
Talking with Will Salmon, Brewers beat reporter. If Ryan Braun decides at the end of the season, and I believe firmly that he's going to come back at least for a year or two, what kind of a contract do you think Ryan Braun would garner if he became kind of a part-time player and more of a DH?
Yeah, I would probably assume something like a one-year deal with an option, or, you know, just to kind of see like how things go. It also depends on the DH too. I think as of now, there's the DH for 2020. Of course, that's a fact for this season. I think it's a little bit unclear for 2021. I'm not sure if it's actually a thing for 2021 officially. I think it's actually not so far. So that will be interesting. But I agree with you just based on his comments and the way that he was talking about it. It seemed like he definitely was no longer interested just in saying, okay, this may be the end for me. I think that 60 games will not do it for him. I think it will leave a lot to be desired for. And, I mean, I expect big things for this season from him, frankly. I mean, he made a good point the other day in saying that if you look at my previous, like, August and Septembers, they've been pretty solid, and that's because you could see sort of a light at the end of the tunnel. And he sort of equated that to the 60-game season where it's obviously truncated and condensed. And so you're able to kind of mentally look at it that way. And, you know, I looked at his numbers from that. And I can get along with that line of thinking. I really can, especially when you think to yourself they're not going to, you know, be using him on the field all the time and instead mostly using him as a DH role along with some first base and outfield, of course. But, yeah, I like the chances of him playing beyond 2020 for sure.
Then the next question I have for you, when it comes to guys like Keston Hiura, which I expect him to have a pretty decent season, but I talk about Orlando Arcia, and he's got to get off to a fast start. I mean, you can't linger with guys that would struggle for any period of time, right?
No, I don't think so. It's interesting with Orlando Arcia just because he had that big spring earlier this year where he was hitting home runs, I felt like, every time I looked. And that was after obviously a down year the year prior. So he was making an interesting case for himself. But the other part of the equation is Luis Urias, who council shared the other day, was one of the two players who had tested positive prior to intake. And so who knows how long he's going to be missing for. And that was the guy that Orlando was battling for that shortstop position. Now they could do some other things, of course. Maybe even Brock Holt could play some short. And so the leash on guys, like you alluded to, you have to be cognizant of that because of the season's length. But, yeah, Arcia is an interesting case just because we thought that there would be this position battle for the most of the time at short with him and Urias, but with the latter now testing positive, it's interesting because, yeah, he's a guy that we know we can get defensively. We know we're going to see from him defensively for the most part, but it's just how much offense can he provide for you. And if that spring that he was having earlier this year is any indication, of course, there'll be some improvement, but you're not at the luxury of waiting for that to happen in a 60-game season. So that's an interesting position for the Brewers, no doubt.
Good to talk to you, Will. We're going to have you on more. I certainly appreciate it. And thanks for joining us for a couple of minutes and talking some Brewers baseball with us, man, okay?
Oh, of course, anytime. Thanks for having me.
All right, appreciate it, man. There you go. Will Salmon joining us for a couple of minutes, the Brewers beat writer on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been doing it. Call them, 844-PRIDE, or go to schneiderjobs.com. That's 844-PRIDE, or go to schneiderjobs.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.